Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We don't take any of this for granted. You are God. You are a solid backer. And except for you, we will be mincemeat. Thank you, because indeed we have you, and you are consistent. You are a constant in our lives. You are dependable. We give you praise, O God. Thank you. Thank you even for this morning. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for your glory in our midst. Thank you for your word as always. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I felt God lay on my heart that there are seven things I should mention that you should not stop doing now. So seven things you shouldn't stop doing now. I think it's not breaking news that times are hard. It's not breaking news that things are difficult. You know, all kinds of things. I mean, the environment is hot. You know, not just literal temperature, but even socially, politically, economically, it is hot. You know, you can sense it. I was telling somebody, I said, even the heat, you know, the temperature heat is almost like a physical sign. I said, because sometimes I'm wondering whether I'm having a fever or it's just the environment. I just don't know what is going on. You know, so times are hard. But one of the things we need to know is that that's not a surprise to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That didn't catch God by surprise. He has the times in his hands. He knows exactly what will be, and he has told us. You know, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, he said, but know this. Can I hear you say, know this? He said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Okay? In the last days, perilous times will come. Another translation says difficult times. One says terrible times. One says violent times. So in the last days, terrible times will come. Difficult times will come. Dangerous times will come. Violent times will come. I think all of them describe what we see clearly around us. Matthew 24, also Jesus was talking, and they asked him, they said, look, you talk about the end. They said, what will be the signs of the end? And he began to tell them, things will be difficult. This will happen. There will be wars. There will be famine. Famine is like your depression. It's like your inflation that you are seeing. Things are expensive. It's difficult to afford anything and all of that. So he says, all of those things are going to happen. There will be droughts. There will be wars and rumors of wars. He said, that's not the end, but the end is near. Are you with me? But when certain things happen, there's a tendency to react to them. There's a tendency that you sit down and you just react and do things. Okay? Almost like if you were sick. You know, when people are sick, one of the first things that they don't want to do, and even though those things are good for them, is that you don't want to eat. You know, so when you are sick, there are just a few people that no matter how sick they are, they see it very well. You know, the way, you know, as they say in Yoruba, they say, Lara Baba Oya, but they call Wole, Abi, Ewenjade, you know, the interpretation of that one. They say, you say, Baba is sick in the room. But, you know, the mama is going in, and just the leaves are coming out. You understand? I say, Baba is sick, Baba is sick. But he's chopping this thing now, Abi. So, but why do people say that? Because there's a tendency that certain things are going to stop. Now, the other side to that is that sometimes the things that we tend to stop are the things that are beneficial. Okay, so you people don't want to eat, but it's beneficial. You know that if somebody is sick, he requires the nutrients. He needs those nutrients to fight back and recover. In fact, if you are very sick, extremely sick in the hospital, and the person cannot, absolutely cannot tolerate anything, we end up feeding him by force. So we'll put what we call a feeding tube. So we're going to open his mouth and put a tube down. We will say throat, generally, but it's not real throat. But we'll put it down, leading through the pipe to his stomach. And we're going to be pouring food in and forcing him to eat the food. Why are we that desperate to make him eat? Because he needs the food. He can't stop eating. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No matter how sick he is, he can't stop eating. So there are seven things that I believe God has laid on my heart that you can't stop doing, even in these days that we're in. Are you with me, anybody? Number one, you can't stop thanking God. Are you there? I've actually flipped my list a little bit. But you can't stop thanking God. No matter how things are, no matter how bad they are, you must still give thanks to God. Wake up and every day give Him thanks. Thank Him that you are still here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thank Him that you still have friends. Thank Him that you still have family. Nobody will wake up in the morning and be crying.
I say, is it not for my friend that gave me food? I have nothing to eat.
But you have friend. Some people don't have friend. They need food. There is no friend. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nobody that can even give them the food and say, you want food? There's food here.
I was joking with somebody. I said, it's a fun person. And I told him, look, between your Western world and my country, I said, I prefer my country. I said, one of the reasons is that I can survive here without money. I said, because if I get up now and I go to somebody's house, they start preparing food. They'll ask you, what will you eat? I said, you'll be looking at me, koro koro koro. He didn't even tell us that he was going to stop at our house. I said, but they will feed you. If you have neighbors that and they themselves have noticed, they'll start, you start coming in at lunchtime regularly, every day. They will by themselves, they will increase the portion that they cook. Are you hear what I'm saying? Listen, there's enough to thank God for. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, is that verse 18 or so? It says, in all things, give thanks. Can I hear you say in all things? Don't wake up and be crying. Don't wake up and just be complaining. Just wake up first and thank God. It's only Gary in this house. But you have Gary. Are you serious? You have Gary? Wow, Gary. If I offered my children Gary, they scream. Good Ijebu Gary with granite and cold water. Are you hear what I'm saying? So you do have something to thank God for. The grumbling doesn't have to be. Hallelujah. He didn't say for all things. So you are not thanking God that you don't have this and that and that. You are thanking God that even in this situation, as they will say in Yoruba, there is still room for thanksgiving. There's still a little thing there, a little sign here that I can thank God for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I remember when we first got married, and things were a bit rougher. Amen. And there were times when you have stew, meat has finished inside it. So I was like, okay, let's eat. My wife said, there's no food in the house. I said, what? Said there's no food in the house. I said, but I saw rice there now. I saw stew now. I said there's no meat in it. I said, you will say there's no meat. Not there's no food. I'm seeing food. Meat is meat. Food is food. Hallelujah. Can I have an amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, my mom had a driver in those days. She came to Lagos, stayed at my sister's place. And after some days, they came to see me. So I was asking the driver, I said, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. They've been in Lagos for a while. And I said, are you okay? Have you been? He said, I'm hungry. I said, you've not been eating in my sister's place. They've not been giving you food. He said, they gave me. It's only rice. I said, yeah, he's silly man. So it's only rice. That's not food. You need a bad. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Say, only rice is food. Hallelujah. You know, 2 Kings. I'm not sure of how much time I have. Okay, let's read it. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let somebody say, I won't stop thanking God. You know, one of the reasons why you are down and depressed and downcast is because you don't thank God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's because you don't thank God. The more you complain, there's a scripture, if you can find it, in the book of Psalms. The psalmist said, I had all the trouble. He said, then I complained and I was overwhelmed. Okay? Can you search that out? He says, I complained and I was overwhelmed. It's in the book of Psalms. So when you have all the trouble, the issues are there and all of that, the moment you start complaining, you are growing that trouble. That trouble will completely swallow you up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the things I don't do, I don't complain. I don't complain about anything. Psalm 7:3 said, I remember God, I was troubled, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. The moment you go into complaining, you have finished yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is always room for thanksgiving. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. It says, it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria, and there was a great famine. Let somebody say great famine. There was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cab of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. You haven't seen trouble yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You haven't seen trouble yet. When they start selling poo, you have gone quiet, though. You have gone quiet. When they, you know, when people have seen trouble. Are you hearing me? They had, you say, people are shouting out, there's hunger in the land. I agree with you. But there's hunger and there's hunger. Are you with me? When Mr. Sajiri starts selling not egg, not chicken at high price, but he's selling the poo of the chicken, and people are lining up to buy at high price. They are not lining up to buy egg. You know, they say egg is very expensive now. They are not lining up. No, it's that price of egg. You know, a crate of egg is what, 4,000, thereabout. When people are lining up to buy the poo of the chicken for 4,000, then you know that there is trouble. That's what was happening in that land. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the real trouble they had. So things were really bad. But verse 26, the Bible says, then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help, O my lord the king. And he said, if the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press? Then the king said, by the way, what is troubling you? And she answered, he said, this woman here said to me, give me your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my own son tomorrow. So we had an agreement. My son today, your son tomorrow. We are not witches, we are not ritual killers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We are just hungry. And we agreed that we will eat your own son today. Tomorrow we will eat the other son. Are you still there? He said, we didn't just agree it, we did it. Abi, verse 29. She said, so we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, oh yeah, let's eat your own son. But she has hidden her son. And she still has mouth to go and report. You understand what I'm saying? Things are that bad that she still had mouth to go and report to the authorities herself. And she's not reporting to say we have committed murder. She's reporting to say she's cheating me. We have eaten my son. She's hiding her son. She's cheating me. Arrest her. Are you still there? He said, now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes, a whole king. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. Then he said, God, do so to me and more, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on his head today. You know what happened? King knew things were bad, but he didn't know that they could be worse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He knew they were bad. People are buying poo. But when he heard that, some people have reached the level of eating their children, then he said, hey, listen, things are bad, but they can be worse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They say, what am I thanking God for? Thank him that it is not worse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thank him that is not worse than it is, because there is always room for worse. Hallelujah. You've heard the story of the guy who went into the bush to commit suicide, was going to hang himself. And then he removed, you know, some of his clothes, shoes and all. And he went and put the thing, and he was preparing to hang himself. And then there was this guy who was standing by watching him. And the guy said, "What are you looking at?" He said, "You want to kill yourself?" He said, "Yes. Things are very bad for me and all of that." And the guy said, "Quickly, finish.
Thank God, me, I want to take this clothes and this shoe." So the guy removed clothes, the rope.
Yeah. The guy had no clothes, no shoe, no. He said, "Just finish. So I can't take." Are you still there? You know, some years ago, I went to the cemetery to go and find out, you know, to get that, what do you call it, the burial, the grave, find out details and all of that. So I went there, I was asking them, you know, how much is it, blah, blah, blah. They told me $750,000. Somebody was just telling me that they were asking them for $2 million now. Not any special something for it or anything, no. Just regular place now. They're asking for $2 million. So I went to the place, I asked the man all the details. He told me, he said $750,000. I said, "Sorry, okay, what did you just say?" He said $750,000. I said, "For that I said, "I didn't ask for plot. I asked for just that grave." He said $750,000. I said, "Eh?" I said, "So the person that commits suicide and say things are hard, I said that cost and go use burial. I mean, because if you say you don't have anything, then you commit suicide. The people you committed suicide, they need $750,000. Not to talk of a coffin, not to talk of just to put you in the floor. They need $750,000. They will cost you." Are you hearing what I'm saying? This can be very hard. Are you still here, anybody? But God is keeping you here. God is still good. Can I have an amen? God is still God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know when he says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's the business of the shepherd to feed the sheep. It's not the business of the sheep to feed himself. You do your best as God directs, but the shepherd directs you. You hear what I'm saying? But he will direct you. He will get you what you need. Can I have an amen? I remember one of the best, my favorite stories. There was this guy, his minister's son, and he said when they were growing up, there was a time they didn't, things were very rough, no food in the house. He said, but across the road, they had this couple who had a farm, and they had some chickens there. He said, and the parents would pray and say, "God, you will have to help us." He said, and all of a sudden, they saw those chickens. They marched like they were an army, you know, under command. He said, the chicken marched, boop, boop, go to the house, came to the front of the house and laid eggs. He said, and went away. He said, and his parents, good Christians as they were, packed the eggs and went to the people that owned the chickens. I said, "Are those chickens yours?" The people said, "Yes." He said, "The chickens came and laid these eggs in front of our house, so we brought the eggs back to you." The man said, "Those chickens?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Those chickens have never laid any eggs. They are useless chickens. They don't lay any eggs." He said, "If they laid egg, if you said they laid egg in front of your house, keep it. But those chickens are useless." So the man took it back. He said, "God is my shepherd. He has provided." He said, from then on, every day, the chickens will march down. And come and lay eggs. And go. Are you hearing me? Until the man had sufficient, the chicken stopped coming. God can do the unimaginable just to provide for you. Hallelujah. You need to have that confidence that God will sort me out. Of course, you keep doing whatever you are doing. You keep working and doing whatever. But you need to not allow any fear or anxiety. Tell yourself, "I will be all right." Hallelujah. Say it again. Say, "I'll be all right." Number two, don't stop giving. Are you hearing me? What did I say? You know, there's also a tendency that when things are rough, you want to hold back. You want to hold back. You want to hold back. The Bible says that there is he that scatters, yet increases. And there is he that withholds more than is what? Necessary. And it tends to poverty. So not every withholding is good, though. God, I mean, again, maybe some other time I'll teach on having a storehouse, meaning you need to save. Can I have an amen? You need to save. So they taught us in school, they said you save for the rainy day. You need to save up. You need to save up. You need to save up. Yes, I agree with you. But God says you don't keep everything back. You ought to be giving. If you don't have seed in the ground, then you cannot expect a harvest. Are you with me? I've said it before, that there's no way that now corn begins to spring up off the ground. I mean, I'll begin to dance and be dancing to the farm and be dancing to the farm and say, I can see corn cobs are coming out. Corn cobs are coming out. Why am I dancing to the farm? I didn't plant any. Are you still there? It's the person who planted that will begin to dance and say, how is the season to harvest the corn? If the scriptures are correct about giving, then don't stop giving. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over shall men give to your bosom. Hallelujah. And I keep saying it is all kinds of giving. I think is it Proverbs 19:17 that says that he that gives to the poor lends to the Lord. And he will surely pay him back. So you've been giving to the poor. God says, I owe you. That's what God is saying. I owe you. You take care of the poor. I owe you. He will pay him back. He didn't say when, but he will pay him back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at Ecclesiastes 11. And I read from verse 4. He says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Meaning anybody who operates by the external will be in trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you operate solely by the external, you'll be in trouble. I've had times also that I didn't want to give absolutely yes. But there are certain things that are like brushing my teeth. There are certain godly habits. They are just like brushing my teeth. I don't debate them. Are you hear what I'm saying? I do them. And one of them is giving. So there are certain statutory things that I just do. There are statutory givings that I do. There are some that are extra. God says, do that one as well. I'll do it. But there are certain ones that are standard. I don't even think about it. Are you hearing me? But at all times, don't stop giving. He said, he who regards the clouds will not reap. Verse 5. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. You've gone quiet now when I reach giving. Eh? Are you still with me? I think we spoke about the rich young ruler recently. And he came, what must I do, Master? Matthew 19, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said, you need to keep the commandments. He said, all this I've kept from my youth. He said, only one thing remains. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the Bible says the man went away for he had many goods. But right after that, Jesus continued to teach his disciples because they said to him, because Jesus then said when he left, he said to them, he said, how difficult is it for a rich man to enter into heaven? And they said, who then can be saved? You know, and then he began to say to them, he said, whoever has given up houses, lands, this, that, for my sake and the gospel's, will receive a hundredfold. What was he saying? That guy would not have gone broke. That's what Jesus was saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was saying he wouldn't have gone broke. He would have received back in multiple folds. That's why I said to you at the beginning, I said, if what God and the scriptures say generally about giving are correct, And I'm not saying tithes and offerings alone. All kinds of giving. If what God says about giving is correct, then you must always be giving. Don't stop giving in these days and say, because times are hard, I don't give anything. It also means that when the season of harvest comes, you won't have seed in the ground. Are you with me? We don't have time to read Genesis 26, but I'll tell you. That popular story about Isaac, the Bible says there was famine in the land. And Isaac was going to leave. God says, stay in that land. And then the Bible says in verse 12, and Isaac sowed in that land. God says, stay there, but he still had to sow. Can I hear you say, Isaac sowed? And then God poured his blessing on what he sowed that same year of the famine. So in the midst of that famine, he sowed in that land and God blessed it. And he began to prosper in the year of famine and continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. Are you still with me? Let me take a third one and stop there. Remember, I'm talking about seven things you don't stop doing now. Don't stop doing these seven things now. Number three, investing. Can I hear you say investing? No, don't stop there and think that, look, everything I have, I should just eat it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I should just eat it. No. Look for opportunities. If there are opportunities to invest, invest. The widow woman said, saw Elijah, or is it Elisha, and came and said, look, I know Elijah. And God says, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to feed you there. Elijah arrived there, found the widow woman, and said, madam, found her by the well. He said, give me something to eat. She said, all I have is enough to make a cake for my son and I, and then we wait to die. And the man said, give me first. What was God saying? Invest. That thing, you could eat it now and then wait to die. He says, but invest. God sent me to you. And if you put it here, if you do this now, then you will have enough to survive the famine. Are you still with me? I said, are you there? Go to Genesis 47. Because some people in their minds are thinking, is investment offering? Is that what you are saying? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm talking about. Investment means that you look for opportunities not to eat what you have. But you say to yourself, if I invest it this way, there's a chance it's going to multiply and produce. I can start a business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've noticed in this time, people have problems with moving around because it's very expensive to move around. So can I start a business of supplying food products to people at home? And I take it to them in the house and guarantee them fresh products. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And to do that, you need some capital. Then you say to yourself, this money, I could spend it now, just buy food and blah, blah, but it will finish. But can I rather use it for this? And hope that if I do this right, my business will pick up. Are you still with me, anybody? So don't run from investing. In fact, don't stop investing now. Genesis 47. I read from verse, it's quite a long reading, 13 verses. Let me see what I can give you there. This was when they had famine. Joseph was the prime minister, as we tend to call him, in Egypt. And everybody was running to Joseph for help, including the Egyptians. Verse 15, let me read that. It says, so when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For money has failed. Then Joseph said, give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. Did you get that? Joseph looked at it and said, we are hungry, money has failed, the money is meaningless, it's lost value, and blah, blah, blah. So he said, no problem, guys. Let's do a deal. We'll take your livestock. They gave livestock He was investing on behalf of government. I'm just saying to you that in the midst of that, while he had told the president and said, we prepare for famine by storing up, he said, I'll take the livestock. After a while, they did all of that. Everything finished that they got. They came back again. He said, you know what? Let's do a deal. They said, in fact, take us, buy us, and everything we own for the government. Joseph said, no, let's do it as a deal, as an investment deal. He said, what we will do? This was in the middle of famine, serious famine that countries around were coming to Egypt for rescue. And he said, what we're going to do is that you guys will continue to farm, but you will give 20% to the government. Everything else you get is yours. I will give you the grains and everything to go and plant. He said, and you do the farming, or you pay 20%. Are you still hearing me, anybody? When things are tough, there tend to be opportunities also. I know somebody was looking and said, ah, look, I need a car for this. So I said, you know what? One of the things you can look for is if you want to get a car for the amount of money you have, it's not a lot of money. I said, but I won't call it impossible now. I said, because a lot of people are desperate and are trying to live, so they are selling cars. I said, so you don't go to the car shop, regular car shop. I said, because your money can't buy it there. I said, what you do is put out word everywhere, because you will see that some people will sell their cars at very cheap rates. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's an opportunity somewhere around you. I'm praying that God will open your eyes to see it. And I'm saying to you, don't be afraid of investing. In fact, the stockbrokers will tell you that when the things are bad, you know, the stock market is crashing and all of that, they say that's the time to invest. Abisa, they will tell you that's the time to invest. They say because all the stocks are at rock bottom prices. They say, so that's the time that you look at it and say, let me put money in stock market. You say, ah, but it's crashing. Why would you put money there? They said, put money there then. Because now you will buy low and you will sell high. Because when the things pick up, it goes up. So you just need to study which are the best companies to invest in now. And invest in them, because things will always go back up. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I've said three things today, but I'm going to seven things. I've said three things. Don't stop doing these things now. Number one is what? Don't stop giving thanks. Number two, don't stop giving. Number three, don't stop investing. Let's stand on our feet. And let me say this, that investing is not just directly about buying shares or whatever. Sometimes that investing is about you saying, this is the time for me to go and learn a new trade. This is the time for me to go and get a new degree. Are you still with me? This is the time for me to go back to school. Things are not really working in the business or the workplace, so let me take a break and go develop myself in this season. When things are not really working in that sector, let me take a step backwards and build myself and invest in myself in order to be ready for what is coming. Somebody say, I can't go to school now. I'm too old. I always wish that I could be a teacher. I've always wished that I could be a lawyer. I've always wished that I could be. But if I go, that's another 4 years. By the time I finish, I'll be 45. You know, that's in 4 years' time. I'll be 45. I said, so how would you be in 4 years' time if you didn't go to school? Eh? You still be 45. Maybe you will not be. Are you with me? So the choice is that is a choice of, will you be 45 with the degree that you desire, or 45 without it? But that you'll be 45 is sure, as long as God keeps you. So if you know that that's the necessary investment that you need in yourself, go for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go for it. Because the age will come anyhow. You just make a choice of whether you will be better, a better person than you are now. Invest. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's take a moment and just talk to God. Let's talk to God about the things we have heard. What is God saying to you? What's God saying to you? But I sense in my spirit, Isaiah 43 says, when you go through the fire, it will not burn you. Or through the waters and the rivers, it won't overflow you. God says, because I am with you, I will keep you. Hallelujah. These two shall pass. These two shall pass. Whatever phase you are going through, it shall pass. Whatever phase the country is going through, it shall pass. And you'll come out on top. Hallelujah. You'll come out on top. You'll come out victorious. In the name of Jesus. God will guide you through it all. He will show you where to put your foot. And you'll walk right through. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. So we'll take the communion. Communion. You know what the communion says? It's just a reassurance and a declaration that God is for you. Just like it says in Hebrews 13, it says don't allow covetousness, but be bold and be confident, or that you might confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do to me. He said, for he himself has said, I am with you always. Hallelujah. And that's what we're declaring again and reassuring ourselves about. That no matter how rough things are now, God is with me. God is with you. And you will come out on top. It will be a testimony. You will tell testimonies of how God helped you to navigate. Paul said, we went through difficult times. That's 2 Corinthians 1. He said, we went through very difficult times. He said, it was so difficult that we passed the death sentence upon ourselves. We just said to ourselves, if it's also, we are finished. He said, but God brought us out. And now we comfort you with the comfort wherewith we were comforted. God will bring you out so that you will be able to comfort others with the comfort with which you have been comforted. You'll be able to tell others who say, it's finished. You say, it's not finished. It's not finished. Come. How can you say that? I say, I've been there. I've been there. And he will do it again. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. And we thank you for the communion this morning. It's a declaration that this month will be good. It's a declaration that you will go before us. It's a declaration that you will go with us. It's a declaration that every good thing in the covenant is ours this month. In the name of Jesus. It's a declaration that no matter how dark it is, your light arises upon us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.